This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join our guest for the day, Trader Nick in the USA. Good afternoon from London, Nick. How are you doing?
Hi, Johnny. I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm very good. Of course, it is the first Friday of the month, and that means, of course, it's non-farm payroll day, US jobs, and fascinating data coming out of your part of the world this afternoon. Jobs growth weaker than expected last month, certainly raising concerns that the USA is starting to stumble under the weight of those very long-term higher interest rates. And we'll talk about those rates and what that number has done to what we think the Fed is going to do in a couple of weeks' time. Employers added 142,000 jobs in August. That is less than it's about 160,000 that analysts had forecast. Nick, how have markets responded to that news today? And the important question is, how much has that affected what we think the Fed is going to do?
Yeah, Johnny, it was such an interesting report. And you hinted at a good starting point there, right? So we were forecasting 164,000 jobs. What actually came out is 142,000. So a miss on the jobs added front. And to some people's surprise, myself included, the market actually jumped up on this number initially, which may have been confusing. But then when you look at the unemployment rate, I think there was probably some fears baked in there that, you know, unemployment rate's been on the rise. Previously, it came out at 4.3%. So maybe there was a little bit of a relief, you know, pop in the stock market simply because, you know, and same thing with the dollar. So the dollar in the stock market popped on the opening run on this data point. And maybe it's just because unemployment rate actually came down. We saw 4.2%. So maybe some of that fear was offset by the lower than expected unemployment rate. But the good news kind of stops there, Johnny, because when we take a look at what you mentioned, the 142 compared to 164, that tells half the story, which is a not great start. But it's the revisions. The revisions really caught my eye and probably a lot of investors' eyes as well, because previously, if listeners remember, we saw the jobs data point come out last month cause a big slide in markets globally. We saw the Japanese yen get very strong. We saw global stock markets sell off of the fear that, okay, we might have a hard landing here on our hands. Jobs data is really sliding. Well, not only did the number today miss for the reported number for August, but they actually revised that 114,000 jobs miss from last month. They revised it lower, down to just 89,000. So you're talking going from triple digits down to double digits. We missed really big on the last report. And then today we had another miss. And that just adds on to the story of this week, Johnny, which we've been covering, which has been JOLTS came in very poor, right? So job openings very light. We also had ADP yesterday come in light. So you take a look at the full picture of the U.S. labor market, and I think it's fair that concerns have steadily risen about how soft is this landing really going to be. So I think that it is not necessarily all doom and gloom. Like there's still the chance that you do see the economy kind of hold in there. There's some, you know, spots of strength and some spots of weakness. But I would say that the labor data has surprised us to the downside this week, and rightfully so, has increased a little bit of the worries about how soft this landing is going to be. There's a side note here, Johnny. We're getting closer to U.S. elections. And we know that that can cause fear and uncertainty for you know, investors big time.
Indeed. I'll talk more about that in a second or two. But where we were a few weeks ago, Nick, is we had a succession of contradictory data, didn't we? Where you'd have, on the one hand, we'd have the whole bad news is good news and good news is bad news scenario. But now it just seems we've just got bad news, particularly when it comes to the jobs. You said that there are some reasonably positive aspects out there. But with all this jobs data combined, that has certainly felt, for me, a real precursor to what we think will probably be a 50 basis points cut in September. We talked about this a few days ago. Markets were about 50-50 on the 50 basis points cut. Where are they now?
Well, surprisingly, Johnny, they haven't moved too much. And we can kind of get a better picture from that when we take a look at the dollar index. The dollar index today is lower than what it started the week, but higher from the lows. It's made a nice bounce back from that 100.5, let's call it, give or take, area. And I think that, you know, when we see the big slide in the stock market, there's a possibility that you do still see that 50 basis point cut or 25 basis point. It's very up in the air. In fact, it may surprise you and listeners that the expectations, according to the bond market calculation on the FedWatch tools website or the FedWatch website, it's actually still about 50-50. So, but you know, we got to think too, Johnny, a couple weeks ago, what was it? It was like 75% chance that we would see a 25 basis point cut. So I think that, as I mentioned earlier about how I think it's kind of rightfully so that suspicions on this soft landing idea have risen, we also see that reflected in the expectations for this upcoming Fed meeting on how much they're going to cut rates. I kind of lean towards if they can swing a 25 basis point cut, they will do that for the way it looks, both you know, kind of as not incumbent or inhibiting on the incumbent presidency situation, what's coming down the pipeline for the election. I think that 25 basis point is the more safe route, but there is the possibility, the rising possibility, that weakening data could prompt a 50 basis point cut to be more necessary.
So what you're suggesting is that to avoid being seen as too political, they'll be political. Because if they don't go for the 50, even if it's needed, they're saying, well, let's go for the 25 basis points because it's safer, because it might look as though we are trying to give a helping hand to the incumbent administration and by proxy, Kamala Harris. But on the other hand, the US economy might need a bigger cut in rates. So it's a tricky one for the Fed, isn't it?
It is tricky. And I think, you know, actually, if there came a point where, let's say, Johnny, that inflation statistics actually came in, you know, not great next week or something, adds just a little bit more, pushes it over the edge from that 50-50 positioning more towards something more concerning. I think the way the Fed would actually politically, as you put it, avoid being political would probably be to indicate that they have some worries about the state of the economy. That would actually look the least political, because then it's not just, oh, we're helping a good economy more. It's more saying, okay, we actually see some issues. We're going to cut rates a little bit quicker here to try and get in front of this, which would definitely not look political. In fact, that would look concerning. So it might balance out. I think that unless they're forced to, they're probably going to go 25. That's why I kind of do think that if you get a 50 basis point cut, it is more alarming than not, because now they're feeling pressured to move quicker as opposed to where we've been a few months now, kind of in the camp of they're going to cut because they can, because data is cooling off but not crashing. But again, this week challenges that idea a little bit. I wouldn't say we're confidently like, oh, we're going into a hard landing yet, but we've had a string of bad numbers here, which definitely are concerning investors.
We'll talk about next week in a moment or two. You've mentioned the CPI numbers coming out. I wanted to ask you quickly about oil, though. We did briefly mention it on Wednesday, but the oil slump continues. And this isn't something that I think markets saw coming a couple of months ago or so, especially with the geopolitical situation as it is. We've had problems, of course, in the Strait of Hormuz. We've got the very difficult situation in the Middle East generally at the moment, and you would have thought that oil prices would be going the other way. But instead, if I look at Brent crude, you know, it's teetering just above the $70 a barrel mark at the moment. And I have to say, I didn't see that one coming either.
Yeah, I think that goes back, Johnny. There's a couple things that you mentioned there. When it comes to the geopolitical front, there's certainly the at any moment possibility of escalation, and that could clearly spike the prices to the upside on oil, as we've seen in the past. And that's certainly a possibility. I think the market is currently just operating on what is a short-term known, which has been a little bit of global slowdown, seems to be kind of accelerating to the downside. So that really gives us a known factor. And we talk about this. This is the tricky part about the oil market is geopolitical stuff is an unknown that could happen at any moment and change the landscape, whereas economic data is kind of something that is moving in slow motion in front of us. We can, you know, see the data, we can react to it. And I think that's what the market is doing. So tricky for sure, because I would say that to some degree, oil probably deserves to trade at some kind of a premium given the concerns globally. But at the same time, it's signaling something a little bit more dire about the global economic situation. So oil is actually not traded at this level since we go back to December of last year, 2023, which marked a short-term bottom there for the next several months. We saw, you know, price go up, but now we've been trading slowly back towards this low. And it would be very alarming, I got to say, Johnny, if we see the 68 level break on oil and put in fresh lows for the last 12 months or so, that would be definitely a signal that perhaps the global economy is looking slow. I don't really think that the oil price falling here is due to, you know, peaceful resolutions. I think that I think it's mostly here global slowdown, right? That would be dragging the price down on oil. Which I guess one point here to add is arguably helping a lot with the inflation story, right? A lot of oil prices going lower impacts the inflation story quite a bit.
Exactly. I was going to say, you know, all this doom and gloom, but actually the oil price is very good news. We've got the CPI coming out next week, and this will be very encouraging, not just for next week's figures, but those beyond and up until the end of the year, because these oil price numbers will only really be reflected after a couple of months or so, won't they?
That's right. And I think that, with that playing into the overall inflation story, that is a positive. That's a, one. Commodity prices being lower, you could make a case that they're going lower because demand is awful, but you could also make the case that there's some supply stuff in there. I know that OPEC has talked about increasing supply. The U.S. has been pumping a lot more oil. So there is some tension being relieved by those efforts to the global inflation constriction. So some good news, but a little bit of caution there, a little bit of suspicion about oil prices falling so quickly. Is there a dry up in the demand for it due to slowing economies globally? Definitely a very key market to keep an eye on. And just to touch back on where we see markets currently trading at the time of us recording, you've got the NASDAQ down 2.2%. You got S&P 500 down 1.4%. The dollar index is about flat on the day. The volatility index is up 17.5%, which is a big shoot to the upside. You've got gold flat on the day and commodities, as we just discussed, lower on the day. So quite a bit of concern in this market right now, Johnny, and we will have to keep close eyes on that CPI data point coming out next week.
Look forward to speaking to you then, Nick. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Johnny. You too.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.